Dave, you spoke about the hands of work, but I'd also like to mention that as well. I've been praying for the Hands at Work fundraiser, which is next Saturday night, for every day for the last 4 or 5 weeks. So I just know it's going to be a great night because God answers my prayers. So I just want to say a few things about here. I know I may be, saying the same thing as what David said, but it is going to be a great night, and we're really honoured to have George and Carolyn Snowman here with us. They're the founders of Hands at Work, and they haven't been able to come to Australia for, I think, 4 years, 3 years, because of COVID. So they land here on Thursday from Africa, and then we're going to be the first church. They're here with Saturday night for the fundraiser, then Sunday morning service at 9:30. Then in the afternoon they fly to Kalgoorlie, and they've got service in the evening there, and another one on Monday night, and then they're going over east to a number of places and also to New Zealand. So we are the first port of call. So let's put on a big Heart City Church welcome for them. After the service today, the Filipino group, now they're a busy group today. We asked them if they would help out with taking the chairs out and setting up the tables, but then I found out they're also overseeing the cooking today. So thank you, but I'm sure you can do both. But Ronnie has the plan of how to set the tables out, and if the guys, or girls as well if you like, if you can help with removing the chairs, all the stacks of four can go at the back there, and the rest can be stacked on either side here in stacks of 10 or something like that. And then we can set the tables out. And Ronnie's got the plan. If you want to hand that plan over to JR, then, whether they can organise that. And on Saturday night, it's a three-course set menu. So not like last year where we had, international food all around here. It's a three-course set menu with Pastor Sandra. She's set the menu. I'm not exactly sure what it is. But it's got a starter, a main meal, a dessert, and that's going to be actually placed in front of you. So it's going to be that'll be fantastic. And if you cannot come, it's just I know some of the older ones. The night time is difficult driving wise. Well, we will come and pick you up. But if you really cannot come in the evening, but you would like to give to someone else, then pray about that. And maybe there's someone else here that would like to come, but you just don't have the funds. Well, if you're in that situation, can you see Marguerite afterwards? Let her know, and we will make a way for you to come if you really want to be here, but you just can't. Okay, so it's going to be a great night. Doors will be open at 4:30, and then starting at 5, so it won't be a late night. So okay, so that's that. Oh, and just one other thing, if you can do this for me. There's a few of these left on chairs. Not many, probably one on every row of four. I'd like there to be none left at the end of the service today. So take one with you. Maybe I thought of someone only on the weekend who I could invite, and I gave them yesterday. I handed out two of these just yesterday. And hopefully they will come. So, take them with you. Save me a job going around and picking them up and throwing them in the bin. Make sure I don't have to do that. Amen? All right. Well, thank you for that. I'll put them down there. How are you doing? You ready? I have a lot of scripture today, different to the way I've done the ministry before. Not too many points, but I do have a lot of scripture. And in the lead up to Easter, we had what was called the Easter series. So, Pastor Luke spoke about the road to the cross, how Jesus set his face. He was heading toward Jerusalem. He knew what was ahead. It was all part of the plan. The disciples didn't really understand. They didn't know, but Jesus knew. He knew that he was going there, that he was going to be crucified. It was part of the plan. I mean, he was betrayed on the end of that night when they had the Lord's Supper, but then they took him. But he went willingly. He let them take him. It was not against his will. And then on Good Friday, we spoke about the death on the cross. And then last Sunday, we spoke about the resurrection. But what happened after? What was next? And that's what I want to focus on today. So we'll have our first scripture from John chapter 14. We're reading from verses 25 to 27. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I might just pause for there for a moment. I often use that phrase there. I believe it, that when I'm ministering, when I'm going to visit someone in a hospital, I'm looking for a word, then I'm trusting God that he will remind me. It'll come back into my mind, the word that I've heard in the past. I mean, we do have to practice memorizing things, but it says there he will remind us of everything. Isn't that good to know that? Great to see you, Jenny, in church. Yep. Jenny's been in the hospital and out of hospital, but we're keeping you in our prayers. Sorry I haven't been around to see you, but yep, this week. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I searched up the word advocate in a Bible study. So what you'll see coming up now is what I found in Bible studies for the word advocate. So you can follow along as I read it. To determine the meaning, we need to consider the word's etymology, its usage outside the New Testament, and its context in the New Testament passages. By derivation, the word means one called alongside. But the Gospel emphasizes that the Holy Spirit, as Parakletos, is sent from the Father. In earlier Greek, the word signified one called into a person's defense, a helper in court. In two Greek translations of Job, it is used for Job's comforters. Clearly, the work of the Holy Spirit is more than either of these. The Spirit is more than a counselor and stronger than a comforter in our modern sense of the word. The gospel passages certainly mean that the Holy Spirit is helper, another Parakletos. We see that in John 14, 16. Because Jesus had truly been that. The Spirit was promised to remain with Jesus' disciples to teach, to testify about Christ, and to enable them to testify and to convict the world of sin. Now, I haven't got this scripture, but I just want to read you from one of those scriptures mentioned there, John 14, 16 and 17. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." How long is he going to abide with us? Forever. I wanted to emphasize that so that we got that. It's not just for a short time. He wasn't going to come and leave again. You know, when he came, it is forever. How long is forever? I know, forever. Yeah, good answer. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Okay, let's move on. From Luke chapter 24, verses 45 to 53. I said I've got a lot of scripture today, which I think is good. Verse 45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Might pause there for a moment too. Wouldn't it be good to have our minds opened so that we can understand the scriptures? I mean, there are his disciples. They're alongside him. They're walking with him. They're seeing all these things happen. You know, he's walking on the water and all those other things. And he's talking to them about dying on a cross. And they just, you know, well, yeah, that can't be right. You know, they just don't get that, even until the very last moment. It just, their minds weren't open to that. And sometimes our minds are not open either. And we need to pray that God would open our mind, that the scriptures, as we read them, that our minds would be open to what the Word of God is saying. He told them, this is what is written. So it's in the Bible. He was telling this here. It's in the Old Testament. It's always been there. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. In verse 49, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. This is what come after. So we have the resurrection. Jesus went into heaven. And then sometime later, not long, the Holy Spirit came. That was what was promised. And when he came, they were clothed with power from on high. In verse 50, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Every time I read that, I can just close my eyes and I'm trying to picture. And there is Jesus, you know, he's talking to me or to them, and he blesses them, and then he starts going up. Way up there. If we could see the clouds, he would be taken up into the clouds. I mean, what a sight that would have been, to actually see that. His physical body went up. Verse 52. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I think I would have great joy too after seeing something like that. I mean, this is a true story. This is not a myth. This is not, we think, well, that's just not possible. How you a person cannot, you know, if me or you went up there, we'd die. I mean, we know that, but we need to have our minds open. This is what the God's word says, so I believe it, and that settles it, even though I don't really understand it. It is the truth. Amen? And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. So after they saw him go, because he had told them to stay in Jerusalem, so they stayed in Jerusalem, they were in the temple, they're praising God and they're praying. And they're together. So that was in the book of Luke. In the book of Acts, which is the same writer, Luke also wrote the book of Acts, and he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, He presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. I mean, it's very clear in Scripture. It's in all the Gospels. There are other writings about that time. And Jesus, you know, he definitely died on the cross. He was definitely buried. He was definitely raised to life. And they definitely saw him. They touched him. He said to Thomas, "Touch me. Look, feel the holes in my hands and my side." You know, he spoke to him. He appeared in a room, but in a physical form. And we can't understand that, but that's what the Scripture says happened, and I believe that. You know, they caught some fish and he ate the fish. They witnessed all of that. In verse 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." A bit of a runny nose at the moment. Please wait for the what? What are they going to wait for? The gift. What is a gift? Now, if I give you something, am I expecting something in return? Well, I shouldn't be, should I? a gift is free. A gift is not something that you earn. You don't earn a gift. Someone gives you a gift just because they want to give you a gift. I know, you know, at times we do swap gifts. But this is talking about here, a gift is not something we earn. He's going to give us a gift from that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. He's spoken about this when he was on his way to the cross and many other times. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." So it's not for us to know either. We don't know those things. It's not been revealed. What verse was that? Hey, thank you. You're watching. Thank you for that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. So this is, you know, in fact, I was just spoken about that in Luke, but it's repeating it here again in the book of Acts. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. A cloud hid him from their sight. They're looking up. He's gone up. He's gone through the clouds. He's a long way up there. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. You know, I mean, that's enough, but then you look down, oh, suddenly there's two men standing there. You know, where did you come from? They weren't there. They just suddenly appeared. They're standing there. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking up into the sky?" Well, wouldn't we all be doing that? I mean, I'd be doing that too. But they said, "Why are you looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So he's going to come back the same way one day. It hasn't happened yet, but Jesus is coming back again, and he's going to come back that way. From heaven, through the clouds, onto the earth. Just sort of float down, I guess. Yeah. Don't know exactly. So we could ask the question, where is Jesus? And the answer should be, well, Jesus is in heaven, because he saw him go. And I know I had to get my thinking right on this too, where I thought, well, someone had told me that Jesus is in me. Well, the Spirit of Christ is in us. The Spirit of Christ is in us. I mean, Jesus, the man, can't possibly be in us. I mean, how could that possibly, Jesus, the man, I haven't got enough space in me to have another physical human being inside me. You know, God the Son is in heaven. The Spirit of Christ is in us. Verse 12, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Prayer is just so important for us as believers, as Christians. We've got to pray. You know, we just have to pray. We cannot use the excuse we don't have time. We just cannot use it. We make time for other things. We make time. If we want to watch a TV program, or if we want to watch a movie, or, you know, we make time for the things we want to do. We should want to pray. Praying is so very important. And I've always known that, but knowing it and doing it is another thing. And I have been doing it more and more over these last few months, ever since I read that book, After This Manner Pray, which is all about the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is on my mind when every time I wake up in the night, when I get up in the morning, when I'm walking, when I'm running. You know, I've probably said it a dozen times in the few hours I've been awake this morning, thinking about it. In verses John, chapter 17, 11 to 20, Jesus speaking, I will remain in the world no longer. I will remain in the world no longer. So he was kind of emphasizing Jesus is not in the world. But they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Where is Jesus? In heaven with the Father. Where's the Father? What does the Lord's Prayer say? Our Father in heaven. Now I know that the Scripture says that God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere at one time. But our Father is in heaven. See, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Isn't that wonderful that our Lord Jesus prayed a prayer like that over us? And we should do the same for one another. Protect them. Protect Josephine. Protect Jenny. You know, protect Angela. Lord, I pray you protect Daniel. Protect him. Pray for one another that we have protection. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now. When is he coming to him? Now. I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer, this is Jesus saying, he is saying, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus has prayed for you. He's prayed for me that we would have protection from the evil one. Reminds me of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's how he's asking us to pray. That's how I pray. Deliver me, Lord, from the evil one. Deliver Alwyn from the evil one. You know that part where it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. See, God's will is not being done on the earth right now, because we've been given a choice. We can choose, every single one of us. We can choose to obey or disobey. And sometimes we disobey. And there's horrible things happening out in the world, but God's not the cause of that. He's not causing that. He's saying to us, pray. Pray that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. These things are not happening in heaven. That's not what he wants. We have to pray. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. In verse 20, we see again that Jesus is praying for all believers. Who's a believer in here today? Come on. Put your hand up. Otherwise, I'll have to come round and deliver you. Oh, maybe that's not the right word. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So in other words, even though that was 2,000 years ago, Jesus has prayed for you and me as well. Earlier this year, I took hold of a wrong thought over something really, in the big scheme of things, pretty minor, really. But, you know, I got annoyed at something, and I heard myself saying, I will never, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. No, it's just between me and God. But, you know, I had this thought, and it was coming like a stronghold. And I'm never going to do that again, ever. And it was with me for a while. And then, and as I'm reading these books on prayer, I didn't read only that one book, After This Manner Pray. I read other books on prayer. There was another two. I've never been a reader of books other than the Bible. I read my Bible every day. And I've read the Bible for the last number of years. I've read the whole Bible in a year. I've done that for I don't know how many years now, 5, 10 years. But I've not read other books like in our bookshop. And I was just in our bookshop, looking at the books in our bookshop. And some of those books are new, but there's other books that have been donated. You know, you've finished with them and you've given them to us. And those books, when we sell them, that money goes to hands, by the way. I'm not sure if you know that. But anyway, I picked out books and I've read 3 or 4. And as I was reading the book, and I'm reading that passage about forgive me my debts as I also forgive my debtors. See, it's linked. I can't get my debts forgiven if I don't forgive my debtors. We have to forgive our debtors. We have to forgive those who have hurt us. And I think this is a really important part of the message today. You'll see on your seats you have a memory verse that's coming at the end. Maybe you've already spotted it. Oh, I wonder what's that. We're back in Sunday school. Don't they do that in Sunday school? That's a Sunday school thing, isn't it, Kerry? You have memory verses? Well, why don't we do it in big church as well? I don't know. I think it's a good thing. Memory verses. You know, some of us have been carrying stuff for years. Years and years and years. Something someone said to you a long time ago, and it might even be against God. You know, people turn away from God. Stop going to church because someone died. Well, it wasn't God's fault that someone died. God's not up there like a robot controlling everybody's actions. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a free will. Sometimes we make wrong choices. It's not God's fault. God is good. God loves us. I mean, he loved us so much. That's why he sent his son Jesus. That's why he died. I mean, how can love be demonstrated in a greater way than that? God himself, God the Son, died on the cross. You know, we can change our thinking. We can forgive. Whoever it is you've said you can't forgive, you can. You have to. I mean, God forgave us, and you've done some pretty horrible things too. You've said some horrible things. If we were able to put a roll of film up on the screen from what you've done over the years, you wouldn't want me looking at that. But God can see it. Forgive me my debts as I also forgive my debtors. I want my debts to be forgiven. Yeah, I came to my senses and I prayed and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I let go of that powerful thought. And, you know, my light was starting to get dim. I was losing my joy. And that's what happens when we take those wrong thoughts. We start losing our joy. We start everything. Our whole life changes. It affects every part of us. Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. It's easy to do. It's not hard, but it does need to be genuine. And it doesn't mean that those people, you may never be buddies with them. You may never have a relationship because they have stuff to do. They have to repent and get themselves right with God. This is about me and you getting right with God. It's not about saying, well, what they did was, it's not condoning it. It's not condoning it, because if it was wrong, it was wrong. But we forgive them, and then we say, well, Lord, I leave them with you. I pray for them, I pray for their salvation. Because if they don't change, they're not going to go to heaven. And what's worse than that? You know, I'm praying for my family that they would all come to know the Lord Jesus and my friends. And I've been giving books away. Like I even was in the bookshop this morning. I saw a book and a name came to mind. Oh, yes, I know who I can give that to. I will pay for it, Marguerite. So, yep. You know, in the last few months, my whole prayer life has changed. I still read the Bible every morning, but now I journal what I get out of that. I write it all down. And then at the end, I pick four people. I pray about the four names. And then I pick three situations. Now, this, I'm not saying you do this. This is what I've started doing. And the reason I do that is I write it down. And then when I go for my run, I'm thinking about it. And then when I'm walking along the beach, I have the privilege of walking along Coogee Beach at the end of my run at the moment, and I love it. And I'm praying in the spirit. And I can remember seven things, as my brain is capable of doing that. And I'm not just praying for the name, but I'm thinking, well, what do I pray? What do I pray? I mean, I prayed for Pastor Sandra this morning. I'm not sure. Did I mention that she's in charge of doing the menu for next week? So I prayed for Pastor Sandra, that for the anointing of God to help her to get the right amount of food, to prepare it. You know, I prayed for Luke, the anointing would be on him for leading our church. I prayed for Priscilla, that she, as she comes back from holidays, going to be very busy organizing this room for the Hands at Work function. And then I pray, and the Hands at Work has been on my list for the last 5 weeks, so as one of the three situations. I even prayed for myself this morning. That's the first time I've done that for a while. I wrote myself on my page for me. Lord, help me to oversee these things. And often Marguerite's at the top of my list, because she needs to be, you know, because, you know, she's been, you know, she's not where she should be. No, she's my wife, but sometimes she doesn't even make the list. And that's okay. I mean, I don't see the point in having 300 names on a list and just, you know, just write them all off. You know, I think we need to be a little bit more specific. What are we actually praying for? And I've been seeing God answering my prayers. I've had some really challenging couple of weeks. I'm not going to go into why, but there's been some things going on in our life. And I know a friend who's a 9-year-old girl has a brain tumor deep in the brain. Serious, very serious. And I'm very, very concerned for her and the little girl. And there's other things going on. And I just thank God for my time in prayer. It's helping me get through these times as I continue to trust him. In Acts 2:42, it said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. We've got to devote ourselves to prayer. As I've been thinking about the message, the word stupor, it just keeps coming into my mind. The word stupor, it's in Romans 11:8, I think it is. I looked it up. But the word stupor, I just kept, Lord, what are you trying to show me something? Is that you, Lord? And I just felt it was. And it's almost like it's like a bit of a stupor over us, Heart City Church, when it comes to prayer. Do you know what stupor is? Stupor is like a person who is drunk, had too much to drink, has lost their sense to understand things, and you know, you've got to shake them to wake them up. That's what I sense. We got to wake up. We have to wake up. I have this urge to shout it out. Wake up! Oh. Too loud. We got to wake up. Your family, your spouses, your neighbours, your school, your workplace, they need your prayers. And it does change things. It does. Acts 3:1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. They had a time of prayer in the morning, the afternoon, and the evening. I mean, there is a time of prayer. My time is in the morning. Marguerite's time is in the evening. You know, we're complete opposites. I'm up at 5 and I have my quiet time and my prayer time. Then I'm out for a run at 6:30 and I'm still praying. Then I'm in bed at 9 o'clock at night and I sleep for 8 hours. Thank you, Lord. I need 8 hours sleep and I get 8 hours. I might wake up a few times to go to the toilet, but, you know, and I know there are those that manage on 5 hours, not looking at anyone. I don't know how you do that. Got no idea how you do that. But I can't do that. There's a time of prayer. When is your time of prayer? And it doesn't just have to be at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, you can be driving down the road and you can still pray. When I'm out running, I can pray. When I'm walking along the beach, I can pray. When I'm doing the dishes, I can pray. When I was in the administration room this morning, I was praying. You know, we can pray wherever we are. We can pray anytime, all the time. I mean, obviously not if you're sitting around dinner having people, but you can pray then too. You can bless your food. In Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Acts 3:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit is important. It's a free gift. So I pray, and I pray in the Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit most of the time, actually, and spoke the word of God boldly. So let's move on to the Holy Spirit. How important is the Holy Spirit in our lives? In Acts 2, verses 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What do you think enabled means? Any ideas? Yeah? Enabled. It's like being given the power, the ability to do something. Some scriptures on the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So this is sometime after when they were together in the room, there was like tongues of fire, and that day the gift came, they received the Holy Spirit, and he's been here ever since. They were waiting, but since then, the Holy Spirit's been here ever since, because Jesus said, I will send you another, and he will be with you, how long? Forever. Every time I look up, I've got to look back and find where I was. Okay, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. In Acts 9, verse 17, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 9:31, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. So the Holy Spirit encourages us. This is exactly what I'm trying to do now. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to edify you, because my name's Eddie, so I can do that. Right, to edify, to encourage. Acts 10:44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. You could be hearing the message and the Holy Spirit comes on you. I pray he does right now, in Jesus' name. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So now we come to the conclusion. We're winding up. And I read, this is one of the verses I read and I made a note of some weeks ago. And the Holy Spirit reminded me. I had to go back through my notes to find this verse because I just felt that it was important as part of the message to share it with you today. And I do encourage you to memorize this verse. It says in Romans 8, verses 5, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So there's two ways of living. We have the sinful nature, you know, what do I want? And it's all about me and where I want to go and what I want to do and who I want to be with and what I want to look at, what I want to read. And, you know, I want to be angry because, you know, I don't want to see you again. Or I can put my mind on what the Spirit desires. And listen to this next verse. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Isn't that awesome? The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. You know, I think a lot, and you know, look, I'm not a psychologist. I don't understand that field, but I am convinced that if you could change, if a person who is struggling their mind could only get hold of the Word of God and would think about the Word of God, it would change their life. I know someone right now, and I don't want to talk about who it is because they are close to me. But and I've been trying to help them, and it's hard. In fact, I couldn't even talk to them about this stuff. Weeks ago, I prayed for them, and then they just turned their back on me. And then someone else who knows them said, "Don't you ever go there again." All I did was praying. Said, "Can I pray for you?" And they'd let me pray for them before, but the door has been opened again now. But it's hard. But, you know, for you and for me, you know, we do have the Word of God. And as we think about and as we memorize and as we read our Bibles, allow, you know, ask as you're reading it, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to show you something in your reading, whether it's Old Testament. I read the Old Testament and the New Testament every day, and then some days it's Psalms. I've got a reading plan, and I follow that. And then I just say, "Lord, show me," you know. So, and I write an A4 page of notes, or three quarters of that page, and the last part is for who I'm praying for and what I'm praying about. You know, God's Word has the ability to change circumstances. And if your light has been getting a little dim, maybe it's because what you've been thinking about. Maybe it's because of what you've been looking at. And if you was looking at something, you know, you shouldn't, well, repent. Just say, I mean, we all sin. The Scripture says in 1 John 1:4, I think it is, yeah, don't say you don't anyone say they don't sin. Because you're a liar. We all sin. It all happens. We always fall short. We mess up. As hard as we try, we get it wrong sometimes. You know, sometimes someone annoys us on the freeway. We try and we think, "Oh, I'm going to get you back." I was driving down to Mandurah yesterday, And they rode, there was four cars in a row, not even one car space. They're traveling at 100 k's an hour. I mean, there was a massive accident on that road just in the week. It's no wonder. And people just get annoyed with other people. You know, you overtook me, I'm going to overtake you. I mean, and I think the same thing. I sometimes get the same thought. I'm going to get you. You know, I can get in front of you. Then I get my senses. No, Eddie, that's the wrong thought. We've got to challenge our thoughts. Challenge our thoughts. I mean, go a bit slower. You know, then we won't get a speeding fine. I was coming down from your place the other night. The road I'm doing all the time, I turned the corner, it's only 100 yards, and I got up to 70. It's supposed to be 60, and the light went flash. They got me. I broke the law. I'm going to get a fine. I'm not perfect. Who am I going to be angry at? Well, I'm angry at myself because I know I shouldn't have done that. I know that road, but I come at it from a different angle. And I didn't see the 60 sign, but I do know that road. There's no excuses anyway, is there? Let us pray. I'm not going to call anyone up to the front. You're more than welcome to come up the front. Always happy to pray. It doesn't have to be on a Sunday after service. You know, we're available in the week, the pastors, the elders. You can call us. I love to pray. And I trust God's word that he will lead me in prayer. Yeah, we have oil. We pray, we pray the prayer of faith. You know, I believe all that. We go into the hospitals, and you know, prayer is important. But right now, I want to zero in on this part where it says, "Forgive me my debts, as I also forgive my debtors." You know, if you're carrying something where you said, "I will never see that person again. I will never forgive you. I will never do that." And you just know, as you've heard the message today, that's wrong. You know that. And I just want you to be thinking about that person's name or that situation. You know, as I'm praying, you can put your names in there. Because God wants us to be set free from that. That burden, that thing that's causing our light to be dim, that we might have a spirit of life and peace, as the scripture says here. The mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. Father, we've all heard, including myself, we've heard the word of God today. Lord, and if anyone in this room is carrying hurts, made powerful statements in our minds or even to others about never forgiving someone or not doing something because of an ungodly thought, Lord, and we've been, you know, in a bit of a dark place, it's affecting everything about our life. We don't have life and peace. Lord, we bring those situations before you. You know, I'm thinking of some names right now as those of us around the room. And Lord, especially if we've turned away from you, Lord, and blamed you for doing something or not doing something. Oh, Lord, we're so sorry. We repent. We repent of that. Forgive us, Lord. We forgive those people who hurt us for their anger, the way the situation, the terrible situation they caused us to be in, for the hurt it caused us, our family and other people. Lord, it did hurt us so much, Lord, but we forgive them, Lord, and we hand them over to you. We leave them with you. We can't change them. Lord, we pray that you would send send ministering angels. You would send someone that is able to share the word of God with them, where they would hear it. Yeah, we pray for their salvation. Lord, we pray that we would see them again, that we would see them in heaven. That's the most important thing. We know it says in the Lord's Prayer that, you know, the very last part of it is that we would be delivered from the evil one. Lord, we understand there's an evil one in the world. And the only reason he comes, tells us in John 10:10, the only reason he comes is to steal, kill and destroy. That's his agenda. Lord, deliver us from that. Every single person in this room, Lord, that we would be delivered from the evil one, that we would not be tempted into temptation. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father in heaven. Oh, we pray your kingdom would come. Your will would be done in our family, in our homes, in the way we talk, with our husband, with our wife, with our children. I know these situations are difficult and challenging, and sometimes we're pulling our hair out, Lord, but help us to have our thinking would line up with your word, that we would be people of peace and joy and love. Lord, let our light shine brighter and brighter, that it would have an impact and people would see it and it would affect them for the good, and that we could enjoy our life and be a blessing to one another and to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed with that said, amen. 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 Well, that's me done. God bless you. God bless you for coming in and going out, and have a wonderful week. And put your names down, pay for your tickets. You can do it online or you can see. I will be out there, and David, I think Lett was going to join us. I'm not sure. She may be busy in the kitchen.